Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Here in the last half hour of the program, we're going to be talking about the hymn, a very quick hymn study, Awake. For night is flying, wake, awake. It's with the theme that I heard yesterday in church, the gospel reading, Jesus telling his disciples that he will come again and they will not be able to be prepared for it. He says simply to them and to all, he says, stay awake. The hymn we're studying, Wake, Awake, For Night is Flying. Dr. Paul Grimm joins us. He's Associate Professor of Pastoral Ministry and Missions and Dean of the Chapel at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Grimm, welcome back.
Thank you.
Let's start with the biblical basis for this very common end of the year and Advent hymn.
The most obvious basis is the parable of Jesus from Matthew 25, the opening parable in that chapter, the story of the 10 virgins who are waiting for the bridegroom to arrive. That was traditionally the text that was read every Sunday, every last Sunday of the church year, for centuries and centuries. And in some churches, even to this day, many churches will hear that story every year on this last Sunday of the church year. And Nicolai's hymn, really, for the most part, especially the first stanzas, is completely based upon that parable of Jesus.
What do we know about the author himself, Philip Nicolai?
Philip Nicolai, he was born about 10 years after Luther died, so that puts him a couple generations after Luther. He was the son of a pastor, and then he became a pastor himself. He studied at Wittenberg. Of course, it's about 30 years after Luther had died that he is studying, so it's a different place than it was during Luther's time, but still very much the center of Lutheranism at that point, especially as the Lutherans were finding themselves more and more in conflict with both the Roman Catholic Church and with the Reformed Church, the Calvinists. It became important that Reformation teaching was retained, and so he studied there in Wittenberg itself and was a pastor of a number of different churches along the way in the next 30 years.
Why is this hymn, you mentioned it before, that is apropos and commonly sung at this time of the year, why this time in the church year do we sing this hymn especially?
Right. The last few Sundays of the church year, each year as you come to the end of the year, you hear readings that begin to focus our attention toward the future, toward the end of time. And as I mentioned, traditionally it was this parable of the virgins waiting for the bridegroom to arrive, to enter into the banquet hall for the eternal banquet. But there are other passages as well, and with the three-year lectionary that we now have, other texts are as well chosen for some of those last Sundays of the year. So we don't always hear that story of the parable that this hymn is based on, but like we heard yesterday in the reading from the end of Mark's Gospel, again, that whole theme is throughout. It's not just in one particular passage, but that call to watch, to be ready and be prepared. And it really flows very nicely, coming as it does at the end of the church year, then flowing into Advent, which begins that new church year, and that expectation of that coming Savior, not only who came in Bethlehem, whose birth we'll celebrate again here in short order, but also his final coming in judgment as well. That theme even comes through in Advent as well. So it's almost a seamless moving from one end of the church year right back into the beginning of the church year again.
Here stanza one of Wake, Awake, For Night is Flying. Wake, awake, for night is flying, the watchmen on the heights are crying, awake, Jerusalem, arise. Midnight hears the welcome voices, and at the thrilling cry rejoices, where are the virgins, pure and wise? The bridegroom comes, awake, your lamps with gladness take, alleluia. With bridal care and faith's bold prayer, to meet the bridegroom, come, prepare.
Wake, awake.
stanza one of Wake, Awake, for Night is Flying. It really is just the narrative of the parable itself. What is the central message of Christ's parable and his return?
It's very simply to be prepared, to be prepared for that return at any time. We're reminded, as we heard in yesterday's text, that we're not given the day or the hour, not even the sun, according to human nature, knows that time. But that the Christian is constantly prepared, recognizing it could be today, it could be a long time in the future. But it is, especially as we live in this world where we are so drawn to things temporal, to all the things of this world, much of what we seem to have lost in the past few years with the economic downturn, it's so easy for our lives to be caught up in acquiring things and investing our lives and our time in things and in our activities that we take part in. But all of that for the Christian should always be put in the proper perspective, and that is one that understands that at any time the Lord could appear. With that parable that Jesus tells from Matthew chapter 25, what you find, of course, are of these virgins, you know, if half of them are prepared, they have enough oil in their lamps, they've brought extra oil, whereas there are five, the foolish virgins they're referred to, who do not have enough of oil for their lamps. And in fact, they really don't become a part of that first stanza that we just heard. Nikolai really focuses upon those who are prepared and inviting them to be ready to enter with the bridegroom, who is Jesus, of course. And so it is constantly that invitation for us to be prepared, to be watchful, to be ready, not with a fear or paranoia or anything like that, not to go to a mountaintop, sell all our possessions, and suddenly just sit there and wait. We go about that waiting in the midst of our earthly callings, whether we're parents or husbands and wives, whether we are working in particular, you know, vocations, whether we're students. I mean, we continue in those vocations, those callings, but always with that sub-theme of watching and waiting and being prepared.
A quick question before we go on to the second stanza. In the parable, all 10 virgins fall asleep, and yet just one more time, what is the difference between those that are wise and those that are foolish?
Those that are wise have faith. I mean, they trust in their Lord and have prepared in that sense of focusing upon their Lord and his coming and knowing that coming can be at any time, whereas the foolish virgins have not only allowed themselves to long to sleep. I mean, there is this time of waiting, which has been a long time of waiting, centuries and centuries, millennia we can even count. But they failed to be prepared and to recognize that coming could be any time, and that the judge is one who will call us to accounting on that last day, separating the sheep from the goats, which is the next parable that we find, in fact, in that same chapter of Matthew's gospel.
Here stands a two of Wake, Awake, for Night is Flying. Zion hears the watchman singing, and in her heart new joy is springing. She wakes, she rises from her gloom, for her Lord comes down all glorious, the strong in grace, in truth victorious. Her stars a rising light has come. Now come, O Blessed One, Lord Jesus, God's own Son. Hail, Hosanna! We answer all, enjoy your call. We follow to the wedding hall.
Zion hears the watchman singing, and in her heart new joy is springing. She wakes, she rises from her gloom, for
Dr. Grimm, comment, if you would, on the marriage feast imagery so common in so many of Jesus' end times parables. 1 minute.
Right. I mean, it very clearly is drawn from some of the language of Revelation, for example. And now you also see it in Isaiah, too. But from my Revelation chapter 20 or chapter 19, you know, let us rejoice and exalt and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. And that imagery, of course, is very important for the church. St. Paul talks about this when he likens the church as being the bride to Christ, and that we are indeed waiting for that bridegroom to return for the final judgment and for our revelation into heaven. Fascinating, at the end of that stanza, the translation that we chose for the new hymnal, Lutheran Service Book, we actually changed the end of it to try to better reflect what the German is talking about. The last stanza ends, "To eat the supper at thy call," which reflects Nikolai's choice of the word Abendmahl, which is the word for the Lord's Supper. Catherine Winkworth, original translator of this hymn, was not Lutheran, and she missed that, and in fact was missed for many years before we were finally able to make an adjustment that really brings out that full understanding that even here in the Lord's Supper, we are beginning to take part in that eternal marriage feast of the Lamb.
Well, let's talk more about that on the other side of the break as we study the hymn, "Wake, Awake, for Night is Flying." We've posted the words to the hymn, "Wake, Awake, for Night is Flying," at our website, issuesetc.org. Just click on demand. Dr. Paul Grimm is our guest, Associate Professor of Pastoral Ministry and Missions and Dean of the Chapel at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll have Dr. Richard Stuckwish review the movie Twilight New Moon. Stay tuned.
I attended Sunday services in a beautiful Singapore Lutheran congregation. One local man approached me and asked with a pronounced Southeast Asian accent, "You live in St. Louis? You know Todd Wilkin?"
Pastor Matt Harrison reading from his new audiobook, "Christ Have Mercy, How to Put Your Faith in Action."
Who? You mean Todd Wilkin? It turned out this man, half a world away, was a regular listener via the internet, and he's hardly alone. It really is a whole new day. We are witnessing the greatest free flow of faithfully Lutheran information in the history of the Lutheran Church. It is the worldwide moment for confessional Lutheranism. It is Missouri's moment.
You can download "Christ Have Mercy" by Pastor Matt Harrison at cph.org. It costs only $10.99 to download. This new audiobook is a must-listen for Issues Etc. fans. "Christ Have Mercy" by Pastor Matt Harrison, cph.org.
Historic, authentic Christian radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, on why they support Issues Etc.
Our Savior in Houston has deliberately included Issues Etc. as a significant part of our outreach ministry, and we regard every dollar that we've committed to this ministry is a dollar well spent in the extension of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonstration that our Lord Jesus is not irrelevant to what's going on in the culture, that our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history, and Issues Etc. is in the forefront of that movement.
To find out how your congregation can support this worldwide outreach, visit the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. 10 more minutes in our study of the hymn, "Wake, Awake, for Night is Flying." Dr. Paul Grimm is our guest. It's Monday afternoon, November the 23rd. Dr. Grimm, before the break, and I want to talk about this before we hear the third stanza and then the entire hymn itself, you said that the original German here had the word Abendmahl, kind of a term of art among Lutherans for the Lord's Supper. What insight is there then deeper into understanding the end time, the great marriage feast that is to come, in light of the marriage feast that we partake in every Sunday?
We're getting a little taste now, in short order, the way to put it. It's and so often we, again, so trapped in our fleshly existence, which I don't want to denigrate in any way, but it's so easy to lose sight of that fact that as we approach the Lord's altar on a regular basis, we are, in fact, already beginning that eternal celebration. It's not quite here yet, but it's breaking in, so to speak, just as the Lord himself broke into our creation as he took on flesh and came into this world that he might save and redeem it. So now he continues to break in, bringing his body and blood not just to one location, but everywhere where his meal is celebrated according to his institution. And so, you know, that part of that preparation and that waiting and that watching is precisely watching with our Lord, already with us, the one who comes to bring us his blessing even now. And so it's not sort of this long distance kind of anxiously waiting, but, you know, we're left alone until that final time. But the Lord himself is the one who carries us along and sustains us and feeds us and nourishes us and gives us that hope that we so desperately long for as we wait for that final return.
Before we hear the final stanza of Wake Awake for Night is Flying, Dr. Grimm, what should we be listening for in the last stanza?
Well, the last stanza starts to draw on a couple more images, scriptural images for sure. You have, first of all, you have the discussion about the shining pearl. Some of the language that comes again from Revelation describing the New Jerusalem, the 12 pearly gates that are described in that one of those final chapters of Revelation. And you also have another passage which comes from Isaiah, and I'll just read this passage very quickly from chapter 64. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any good besides you who works for those who wait for him. And, I mean, this text begins to just sort of hint at some of these things. I mean, the joy and the glory of that final paradise that has been promised to us is sort of given that initial description. Again, it can't begin to do justice to what it will be. We understand that. But yet, I mean, the rich language that Nikolai uses helps us to look forward to that day. And not just because it's going to be a pleasurable experience, but precisely because we will be with the Lord eternally, and we will see him then face to face.
Finally, here stands a three of Wake, Awake, for Night is Flying. Now let all the heavens adore you. Let saints and angels sing before you with harp and cymbals' clearest tone of one pearl each shining portal, where joining with the choir immortal, we gather round your radiant throne. No eye has seen that light, no ear the echoed might of your glory. Yet there shall we, in your victory, sing shouts of praise eternally.
Now let
said that nothing could really do justice to what is promised in eternal life, and yet this imagery, both in the parables of Jesus and in the book of Revelation elsewhere, piles up before our eyes. Obviously, we are being told great things about what is to come in the world to come. About a minute for a response before we hear the entire hymn.
Well, it certainly draws forth our imagination. Not in the banal sense, but in that full sense of Scripture, continually points with so many different images to what the joy of heaven will be. What's amazing is that Nikolai has another hymn, an Epiphany hymn, where he does a lot of the same thing, especially at the end, just describing again this wondrous opportunity where we're praying for the Lord to come, in fact. And surprisingly also, these are the only two hymns of Nikolai's that have come down to us. He may have written a few more, not a lot of hymns, though. But yet these hymns have been often recognized as quintessential Lutheran hymns of that very first century of Lutheranism. And in fact, this hymn is referred to often as the King of the Chorales. And the tune, also written by Nikolai, is just it's very stately and very strong, and it carries this text and helps to just sort of evoke those images and helps to prepare us for that wondrous and glorious coming of our Lord Jesus.
Well, let's hear the entire hymn, Wake, Awake, For Night Is Flying.
Wake, awake, for night is flying. The watchmen on the heights are crying, Awake, Jerusalem, arise.
About 30 seconds for your final thoughts on the hymn, Wake, Awake, For Night Is Flying.
I think, you know, it's called the King of the Chorales, and I think probably it exemplifies in many ways the very best strengths of the Lutheran chorale tradition that we are inheritors of. And that is, it proclaims the gospel in very, very, very clear terms, but also very rich biblical terms and images. It's just not a bland statement of the faith, but one that draws us into wanting to contemplate it further, and it evokes from us images and imaginations of the wonders of heaven that God has prepared. It teaches, but it also gives praise. There's doxology in the hymn as well, as it gives thanks to God for these wondrous gifts and calls on the whole creation to join in celebrating and thanking God for those gifts.
Dr. Paul Grimm is Associate Professor of Pastoral Ministry and Missions and Dean of the Chapel at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Paul, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Folks, if you enjoy hymn studies, Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, on Issues, Etc., we'll study the hymn Alleluia, Sing to Jesus. Pastor Will Whedon will be our guest. Tomorrow on Issues, Etc., we'll review the movie Twilight, New Moon with Dr. Richard Stockwish. There is so much awaiting us because of what Christ has done for us. His return is joyful and hopeful and eagerly anticipated by all Christians everywhere. Why? Because although he comes to judge, our judgment is secure. We have received the forgiveness of sins through him. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.